This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on COP16 of UN Convention to Combat Desertification. The participants are Mukul Sanwal, Senior Environmentalist, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Despite many efforts, the planet continues to lose 100 million hectares of healthy and productive land each year. There is a growing scarcity of fertile land, and droughts are increasing in frequency and severity, exacerbated by climate change, conflict, and competition for scarce natural resources. Addressing the ministerial session on impact of land degradation and drought on forced migration, security, and prosperity at COP16 of UNCCD in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, is Mr. Bhupendra Yadav, Minister of Environment, Forest and Climate Change. This is what he said.
One of the key approaches to address land degradation and drought is the improvement of water conservation practices such as river rejuvenation and creation of water retention structures in India's special initiative to develop and rejuvenate water bodies. Microfinance facilities are being provided to individual farmers through regional rural banks and other financial institutions to support the agriculture activities in their traditional farm holdings. Similarly, soil health cards are provided to farmers to understand change in soil health affected the land management and take corrective measures. These interventions are expected to discourage migration. Promotion of new technologies for addressing land degradation, such as use of space technology, geographic information system, and drones for land monitoring and precision agriculture, artificial intelligence for soil and water management, can further strengthen effort to combat land degradation and reduce the consequent migration. These technologies, along with financial support, need to be shared with developing countries, especially those with acute land degradation issues. India believes with the collective and focused efforts, we can achieve the sustainable development goals related to life and land and peace and justice, which will build a future where prosperity thrives on the foundation of sustainability.
We have with us our expert, Mukul Sanwal, senior environmentalist, and our AIR correspondent in Dubai, Vinod. A warm welcome, gentlemen, and my first question is to Mukul. What is the significance of the 16th meeting of the conference of the parties to the UN Convention to Combat Desertification?
The conference of the parties really sets out a roadmap for the world where 196 countries and the European Union get together to decide on the future course of action. That is the roadmap was to be done. That's one. Secondly, there is a science element in these COPs because the decision-making, the agenda and the priorities are informed by the best available science. So we have the science committee meetings to also guide, to provide the priorities to the parties, that is to the countries. The third element is monitoring of implementation. There is a separate subcommittee for this, and this is a feature in all COPs. Climate change, biodiversity, and desertification, which reviews what has happened in the past so that the people, the countries can take account of the best available science and the best available information on what is the situation on the ground so that they can take recourse to the priorities for the future. So that is the background, or that is the decision-making process that takes place. Now, in this context, as you have just pointed out, this theme of this conference is Our Land, Our Future. The significance is that this is the first time that the COPs of desertification are being held in Africa. And this one is in Riyadh, and which is the continent which is most widely affected by desertification, drought, and the loss of land cover and degradation of land. So I think this is very appropriate, very important goal. The other issue is that the theme that, you have said, it is not just about nature. It is about our land, our future. You see, the Biodiversity and Climate Change Secretariats, the conferences have a focus on the ecological side, nature, whether it is atmosphere or it is biological diversity. Now, the desertification COP is not looking at deserts by themselves or grasslands or the land degradation, land restoration. They are looking at them in the context of the people. So they are the COP as compared to biodiversity and climate, which is squarely focused on people. And that makes it unique because they recognize that simply improving land for its own sake is not enough. It must be in the context of the people. And their center of focus has been throughout on a people-centered approach. Okay. So when they say our land, our future, they are not looking at the future of the land itself, but at the future of the society that is dependent on that land.
Okay, we know the theme that we have, our land, our future. In this context, what are the key developments and major commitments that have emerged from the conference so far?
The conference has begun on December 2nd. Until date, there have been many commitments by various stakeholders that have been announced. On the first day itself, the Riyadh Global Drought Resilience Partnership was announced with a commitment of $2.1 billion from contributors, mainly from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Islamic Development Bank. And these commitments focus on water, agriculture, and other aspects of land degradation. Apart from this, Arab Coordination Group, which is a conglomeration of various financial institutions in the Arab region, including the Islamic Bank, have also pledged $10 billion apart from this Riyadh, the Global Resilience Partnership. And the important thing that has been announced in this COP16 is the launching of the World Drought Atlas. It's a very comprehensive resource to data on drought risk and solutions, offering maps, infographics, and case studies that highlight how drought impacts various sectors of our economy, such as agriculture, energy, and most importantly, trade. See, all these parameters like agriculture, energy, they're all systemic and interconnected. And the nature of this risk, this atlas calls for an urgent action from the governments involved, businesses and communities, to rethink and strengthen drought resilience. These are the major announcements till date. And International Drought Resilience Center, IRD, has announced, International Drought Resilience Observatory has also announced. And it's an AI-powered platform to piggyback on the current times. These are the major announcements that happened in Riyadh till date.
So Mukul, in context of what Vinod just mentioned about the developments and major commitments, how has India positioned itself at COP16 in terms of its approach and commitments towards combating desertification?
You see, the issue is that India's approach has been in the different COPs. Recently concluded COP29 on climate change, India was strongly arguing for finance for as a voice of the global south. Now in desertification, you have a very different situation because it is not really a north-south issue. It is primarily one of cooperation between the south-south cooperation, because none of these problems have been created directly or indirectly by the developed countries, which is the case in biological diversity and climate change. Climate change, it is more direct. They have overused the scarce atmospheric resource and biological diversity. Colonial governments have been responsible for over-exploitation. And in this case, that is not the case. We have just been told by Vinod that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has pledged money. So this was a major flashpoint in climate change and biodiversity. Here, it is not the case. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has come forward because this is not a North-South issue. The second issue is that, so India doesn't have a confrontation or there is no debate with other countries on this. Secondly, India itself has this thar desert. There is drought and desertification spreading. We are very conscious. Our scientific elements show that climate change will impact on the intensity and variability of extreme events. So we have been pushing on these lines, but unlike biological diversity and climate, desertification is not a major priority for us. It is important. The third issue stresses that while other agriculture food areas have been focused largely on irrigated land, desertification by very definition focuses on unirrigated land, and the government of Prime Minister Modi and himself personally has been stressing dry land agriculture in a very big way. That is an area where India is making a contribution because we have been pushing for millets, other traditional food grains that have always been drought resistant, which are indigenous to local populations, local areas. You will recall that the miracle rice and wheat have been imported to these countries, including Africa and India. So mm-hmm. We are making that contribution in the science and technology areas because we have a very strong scientific base as far as dryland agriculture is concerned, and there is a government priority. So what has happened here is that government priorities have linked up with the COP, and so that India has a strong case to make that they are themselves doing this. And I think by the end of next week, we will see that there could well be India playing a more stronger role in some of the new areas that this COP is looking at, or some of the outcomes, because of the strong scientific base and experience that we have.
Okay, point taken. And would you like to elaborate on the importance of the action agenda?
You see, what happens is that traditionally, you know, in biodiversity, in climate change and in drought and in desertification, the focus is on means of implementation. And in biological diversity and climate change, the means of implementation are controversial because developing countries want finance and technology, and the developed countries are not very keen to part with them. Now, here we have a very different situation because the action agenda really focuses, the base of the action agenda, rather, is what is happening in developing countries. The situation is very different. The geographical, meteorological, and socioeconomic conditions, crop patterns are very different in the developed countries to what they are in the tropical countries, which are subject to drought and desertification. So again, what happens is that the basis is what is happening in developing countries. And India is the leader in that because you do have very little of this, or relatively speaking, much less of this in China. There are deserts, but it is a more of a temperate kind of climate. Australia, again, desert, temperate climate. So India is in a very important position. And the new theme in COP16 in Riyadh, the desertification COP, is on grasslands and rangelands, which we also have, and which we have been pushing, animal husbandry. But more important than that, the second new theme that is coming up in COP16 at Riyadh in the coming days will be ecologically sustainable agri-food systems.
Okay.
Now, this is exactly what Prime Minister Modi has been stressing in India, that, look, we need to build up the resilience of the society's unirrigated tracts, which were the basis of India's prosperity because they relied on the monsoon.
Okay.
So we need to harness the monsoon, water conservation, cropping patterns, and research.
We understand what you are saying, on particularly on the action agenda that we've been talking. The December 6th is going to be the governance day, which will address the inclusive land governance. And on December 7th, it is going to be People's Day. So if you could focus on the decision-making, which happens on December 7th, when People's Day will be in focus with the role of youth, women and civil society.
The two things are coming up here again.
Yeah.
The question of land rights is going to come up. And India is very strong in rights of the communities which inhabit these what has been traditionally called marginal areas, but which really is which is unirrigated areas, which are prone to drought and desertification. So the question of land rights is very strong here. We have been stressing the rights of the tribal populations. We've been stressing on the rights of people to land in these tracts. The second issue is that we have been also stressing on the rights of women. And that's where the other side comes in, that women and food security, because ultimately what we have been saying and what the CAP COP is likely to discuss would be food security, agri-food systems in the new area that they want to push forward, and the area of land rights and women. Because the farming, and that is the case in India as well, the farming in these areas are largely dependent on women. So they are coming up into the focus.
Okay. So hopefully when we have the Resilience Day on December 10, we will focus on policies and technologies to build societal and planetary resilience in the face of climate change. And most importantly, Mukulji, we will have Finance Day on December 11, which will engage financial stakeholders, which, you know, our colleague just talked about a while back, and showcase innovative funding mechanisms and partnerships for land and drought resilience initiative. So here's hoping that COP16 comes up with the actionable agenda and fulfills all the objectives, all the missions and visions that it has set up for itself. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on COP16 of UN Convention to Combat Desertification. The participants were Mukul Sanwal, Senior Environmentalist, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.